The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, we thank you because we know that there are interventions in families this morning, and where there needs to be help, help is ministered this morning. Help is ministered this morning. Interventions are ministered this morning over families, over the sick, over families struggling with any form of infirmity, any form of challenge, families struggling under any form of curse. There is deliverance this morning in the name of Jesus. And most importantly, Lord, I'm asking you this morning to not just deliver, but to raise deliverers from this meeting, that you will raise men that will go from here and such things that have troubled our families for long. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Do you want to shout a loud amen this morning? Hallelujah. Be seated. Good morning. Make sure you make your neighbor or your brother or sister by your side comfortable. Something that makes the person comfortable to sit beside you for the next remaining minutes of the service. Do something that will make the person comfortable. You don't know what to do. Just smile at the person. Or give the person a warm handshake, a warm hug. Do something nice to the person. Just something to make the person comfortable. Amen. Now, if the person is not helping you, next Sunday, once usher say, go there, say, is it that brother you bring him by my side? I don't want that person. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if you realize the year is actually moving very quickly. Today is August 17th. I still remember the day we were doing Happy New Year, Happy New Year. A year of signs and wonders, signs and wonders. Well, I just say that to encourage someone. This year will end greatly for you. Yeah, actually. I'm just telling you. It will end greatly for you. But I just sensed in the spirit that someone is under pressure. Someone was checking this earlier. Last week I was like, yeah, don't they go, Baba? Now so we'll talk. But this year will end greatly. I'm telling you for true, for real. It will end greatly. You look at us as a church, we have a building project that we intend to start this year and finish this year. And we've not started it till now. And we still believe we will start it this year and finish it this year. Then keep your faith alive. That's what I'm trying to say. If by August, and do you understand, we still believe that we will start it and finish it this year, you should still believe that something can happen. A business can still start this year. And I'm saying to encourage you for real. For me, I've seen the biggest moves I've made in my life happen towards the end of the year. And sometimes, it's not even like I started planning it from January. Sometimes, you know, you're planning actually your mind, but then your finance is not planning with you. But somewhere along the line, God is going to intervene. Just believe. One of the things you're going to do is to give up on this year very quickly. Some give up on the year from October. Yes, once they get to September, and is it Mba month? That's what they call it. Once they get to Mba month, they say, year has finished. Then I say, next year is my year. This year is still your year. And next year will still be your year. Every year is my year. I kind of believe that. Because there are remarkable things that happen to me and for me every year. So I like you to, you know, don't stop believing. And one more thing, and it's not connected to my message. Let's just put this in my heart. I just want you to know, friends, something is working for you. Look at actually how the Lord put it in my heart. There are more things working for you than the things that are not working. And I'd like you to focus on what is working. Because as you pay attention to what is working, and you are being grateful to God for what is working, it will be easier to believe God for other things that are not yet working. I know maybe a job is not working yet, and maybe your business might not be working yet, but there are many things working for you. For some of us, your health is working. Right? And if you don't know how powerful it is to say that your health is working, pray you don't get sick. You know, that is how sick you're going to get. You will not care about money. All that matters to you is to be able to get up from this sick bed. You know, sometimes sickness, chronic sicknesses give us a picture of death. Because sometimes when you are that sick, it gets to a point, everything you have on earth will not matter again. Have I ever been that sick? Like, everything will not matter. All you are thinking of is, Father, can I just be fine? If I will just be fine and get up from here. It gives us a picture of what it looks like, that when death comes calling, everything will stop, will not matter again. Do you get the point? And so, some of your health is working. Most of us, our health is working. Some of us, our spiritual lives are working. And that's a big deal. Right? Many of us are doing better in our soul winning. So, can you just pay attention to what exactly is working? Because something is working for you. You know, some years ago, my dad preached, the spiritual father preached a message on four things that are working for you. Actually. And if you look closely, there are those four basic things working for every human being. Just that sometimes you are not paying attention to what is working. So you're focusing on what is not yet working. And what it does is that it distracts you. It distracts you. It makes you complain. It makes you whine. It makes you quarrel with God. It makes you not believe. So I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Can you remember one thing that is really, really working in your life? Just think. Many of us, our families are working mightily. Things are working. If you ever come from a dysfunctional family, you will thank God you don't have one. So have you remembered what is working in your life now? One very thing. Even if it's one. Well, I tell your neighbor what is working in your life. Yeah. Tell your neighbor one thing that you believe is working mightily in your life. I know some of that things are not working. If your marriage is working, you can say, my marriage is working. Is your relationship working? Now, if nothing is working, the life of God is working in you. So something is actually working for you. Amen. What are we teaching on this morning? Basic ministry know-how. And it's always good to introduce that every believer is a minister. That is something you should have come to accept by now if you're in this church. Because you're going to keep hearing it every day. Every believer is a minister. Every believer is a minister. Ministry is not a choice you have to make. Do you understand? Okay, let me put it this way. Ministry is something you have to accept. It's something you have to accept at the end of the day. Because it's not like God is not asking you whether you want to do ministry or not. He has asked you to do it. So if you're not doing it, you're actually living in disobedience. That's what it means. Because the day God gave you salvation, he gave you ministry. He says, that's deception now. Why is he giving us salvation and giving us ministry? Let's just give us salvation. That's not how it works. Think of being born into your family. The day you are born into the family, at least when you come into your family, you come in as a baby, they keep pampering you and all of that. Now, as you begin to get to a certain age, 3 years, 4 years, they begin to say, oh yeah, carry this cup and go and keep there. What is that? Like giving you assignments. Like giving you things to do. Take this cup. Oh yeah, sweep this place. Oh yeah, wash plates. And as you grow, the responsibility grows. Is that okay? If you get to a time, if you're a lady, even guys, you are now asked to cook. The cooking starts by, you know, I've put food on fire. Check, watch when the water dries up. Right? Then gradually, they begin to ask you to, oh yeah, cook, take charge of the meal. From there, they begin to ask you to decide what we'll eat. A day is going to come, you ask your mother, mommy, what are we going to eat? And she'll say, my head. You get the point? Now, what she's saying is, I'm expecting that by now, you should have been making decisions on what to cook. Are you following the point? You need to get to a point, you're not the one buying the food. Do you get the point? Now, in other words, it is expected that every boy that is born is meant to grow. And part of that growth is that you will take responsibilities.
So when people say I'm a believer, but I don't want ministry. You're actually saying I don't want to grow, I want to remain a baby. What is ministry? It's simple service, to serve. Every believer is meant to serve. It's meant to do ministry. So actually, it is only the one that is not yet a part of the family that doesn't have a ministry. So every time we say every believer is a minister, before you begin to fight, say, I'm not about to do all these things, think of it that you've been born into the family of God, and as you begin to grow in the family of God, every wise father will expect that you begin to do some responsibilities. And there are basic ones. Of course, there are people called specially to be apostles, called specially to be pastors and prophets. Now, you might be in that category. But then, even if you are not, there are general assignments that we all have been given. And I've explained that from the last time. We're going to look at things like soul winning. What the Bible calls the ministry of reconciliation. What it means is that every believer is at least supposed to be able to preach the gospel to another person to get the person saved. Every believer. You say, why is that? Every believer is light. Every believer is light. And light is meant to shine. And one major way we shine in the kingdom is by sharing the word of God with people. Whether young or old. And it's something that I've always believed. For instance, they announced Doxa. We have a camp meeting that is starting today. And that camp meeting is for young people. University, secondary school. When we started that camp meeting, some people that were attending, we are in JS1, JS2. But you know, this same thing I'm preaching now is what I've been preaching all the while. You are supposed to go and preach the gospel. It's not a question of age. Actually, it's not a question of age. You know, I was talking to someone recently, that was within the week, from the online community. I was telling her about some big things I felt God wanted to use her to do in her school and all of that. And I said, the problem is that when we say these things, some of you say, you are too young. And it actually makes me laugh. You know why it makes me laugh? I wrote the first book I ever wrote and published when I was 19. I started preaching actively on crusade grounds when I was 15. Actively. And there is nothing special about me. That's what I'm saying. There is nothing special about me. Nothing special. Except that God's hand is upon my life. And guess what? He's upon your life too. So there's nothing special about me. You get the point? I told the lady, I said, this Champions Foundation, some of you are celebrating, I started that foundation at 19. I feel what I'm talking about. So at the end of the day, all this idea of, I don't think I can. I'm too small. It's not for me. Let me grow small. You are actually overgrowing. You are getting too old. Today is the day to accept that God has given you a ministry. So why I'm doing this teaching, this series, is to give you some basic trainings that everybody needs, whether you're an apostle or anything, that you need for ministry. Basic trainings. Last 2 weeks, we began to look at things around how to win souls, how to lead someone to Christ. As basic as that is, everybody needs it. And I thank God, we have opportunities to teach these things. When I started evangelism, nobody taught me this is I'm teaching you now. I didn't even know how to lead anybody to Christ. I just knew I wanted to do it. I'll get down, preach the hell out of you. Preach the hell out of you. Preach anything into you. And I just want to get to a point where you say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. That's all I'm looking for. Right? But then, We are teaching this, but why I always start with this in this introduction is because if I'm going to teach you these things and it will benefit you, it must start from you first accepting that it's even what you have to do. Do you get the point? Because if you don't even accept that this is your thing, then I might just be wasting my time teaching you. But I'm not wasting my time, right? Say, I'm a minister of our Lord Jesus. I don't think I came to Platform of Grace this morning. Is this Jehovah Hallelujah Sharp Sharp Ministry? What church is this now? Glory to God. So I'm a minister of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, God has called me. Shout it. Do you believe what they're saying? Maybe you've never said this in your life since you were born. Say, God has called me. Say, I am a minister of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, I have an assignment. I carry the ministry of reconciliation. And I will fulfill it upon the earth. So I will not fail my generation. I will serve my generation. And my generation will be blessed.
Because I came. Shout a big amen this morning. Hallelujah. Have your seat. Have your seat. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Have your seat. Good morning. Say, why are you saying good morning? Some of you are just coming to church for the first time. Why do you come to church and leave your voice outside? Why are you mumbling inside church? Problem is, now I'm preaching, they say, keep quiet. You are still talking to your neighbor. When I announce it, say amen, you now keep quiet. Praise God. So you're a minister of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you must see yourself from that angle. Right? So assignments like, so this series, we are teaching a lot of things. Like today, now I'm going to teach you on how to heal the sick. Yes. How to heal the sick. Not just how to get your healing. That is how to receive your healing. That's what many of us want. That's what I'm teaching. I mean, how to minister that healing to others. He says, I shall teach it, I'll apply it to myself. It doesn't always work like that. Actually, how to receive your healing and how to heal the sick are two different subjects. That's why you can see a man of God who knows how to heal the sick, but doesn't know how to receive his healing. So he'll be healing, that's about he'll be sick. So I've done a lot of teaching on how to receive your healing. If you don't know how to receive your healing, get my teachings. I have a series on Rafa. So listen to Rafa, you understand how to receive your healing. They're not the same thing. You can get some things from here and then apply it to yourself, but then basically, it's not the same thing. You must learn how to, just like how to receive financial prosperity and how to minister it, it's not the same thing. Do you understand the point? It's not the same thing. Anyway, so how to heal the sick? It's important that every minister will master how to heal the sick. And I'll give you like a few reasons. I'm going to teach along very familiar grounds this morning. I'll try not to be ambiguous or complicated or to say many new things, because I'm seeing a couple of persons that were not here the last time we taught on some of these things. So I'm just going to teach along very familiar ground this morning. But it's going to bless you very, very mightily. And somewhere in this meeting, the power of God is going to break out. Somewhere. So let's just be going. So why is it important that we learn and master how to minister to the sick? I'll give you a few reasons. One, because healing the sick is something that will come in very handy if you are going to preach the gospel. It aids in soul winning. It aids soul winning. It comes in handy when we have to minister to the sick or preach the gospel to people. We read the story about Philip in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. We're looking at Philip on Thursday, if you remember, how that he went to Samaria to preach the gospel. And then, Acts chapter 8 verse 4. When he therefore did, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. And in verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. He went there to preach. So he didn't actually go there to heal the sick. He went there to preach to them. But look at what followed in verse 6. The people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip speak, hearing and seeing the miracles. So Philip did not only take gospel to them, he took healings and miracles to them. And look at the implication of that in verse 7. Verse 7, unclean spirits crying out with loud voice came out of men that we are possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that we are lame, we are healed. And in verse 8, the Bible said there was great joy in that city. If you want to see results in soul winning, then you must master healing the sick. Not because healing. Now, healing will not get anybody saved, right? But then, when people are healed, it helps them. One of the ways it helps them, for instance, when someone gets healed of cancer, of something, the person actually wants to believe the gospel the more. Sometimes, healing will even prepare the ground for your preaching. Because if people are sick and you minister healing to them, they want to hear you the more. And that's why every believer must master how to minister to the sick. You must master it. Because when you go to preach the gospel in different nations and different cities and even in different streets, you're going to meet sick people. In case you don't know, there are many sick people on earth. There are many sick people. They do not just need the gospel, they need healing too. So as you go about preaching the gospel, you're going to encounter sick people. People that have been sick for years. People that have been sick. People tormented by the devil. Sometime, either next 2 weeks or so, I'll start teaching on how to cast out devils. Amen. How to meet the devil, how to even know someone has a devil, how to cast that from the person. It's actually very easy. I'm telling you very simple things. Are you following me? You see these basic things I'm teaching you on? I gave an example. I'll explain this when I'll be rounding up. When I'll be rounding this series up. I gave an example. I said, when you come into your family, as you begin to grow, your father doesn't give you a company to run when you are 5. Even if he has a company, what is he going to do? He will start giving you plates to wash. There are basic things that every minister must start doing before you are even giving people to lead. These are some things I'm teaching you. One of them is something, another one is healing the sick. Observe, before the apostles ever became anything they became, they were already winning souls and healing the sick. So healing the sick is not something you become when you start doing, when you become a man of God. No. It's the basic part of ministry. And you must master it. You must master it. It aids soul winning. Another thing healing the sick does, or mastering healing, ministering healing the sick does, is that it will also help fellow believers. If you master how to heal the sick, you'll be able to help fellow believers. Apart from the fact that you pray for people when you go to preach, your believer friend can be sick. Someone in your generation can be sick. You really don't have to call me. It's not when someone gets sick, say, let me just call pastor. Why are you there? You must master how to minister to the sick as a young person, as a believer, because it will help your regular, your believers in church. You tell people in ministry. There are times when a believer can be weak. I know he's meant to release his faith and receive his healing, but then sometimes we can be weak. What are you expected to do? Believers should minister to you. But imagine you're a believer who does not actually know how to minister to the sick, and then your friend is sick. All you'll be doing is recommending medication. Have you taken paracetamol? Have you taken Novagin? Have you taken Flagyl? Have you taken... Are you getting the point? You just keep mentioning and say, where is your phone? Do you have airtime? Let's start calling pastor. He's not picking up. Who else should we call? Pastor Mara. She's not picking up. And that's what we do. You need to do more than that. You must master how to put your hands on the sick and check that devil out. Are you following me this morning? Are you in church this morning? So you must have to minister to see, because it will help fellow believers. You know, in Acts chapter 9, we read the story of Peter and Dorcas, verse 36. Dorcas was a believer in Christ Jesus, but she became sick and she died. And Peter stepped into the scene, put hands on Dorcas, and Dorcas came back to life. Now, that's why I said, we do not just need healing or knowing how to heal the sick, because when we go for evangelism and all of that, there are believers that will need it too. As a pastor, why was it necessary that I learned how to heal the sick, even as a pastor? Because apart from going out there to do crusades, there are members in my church that fall sick. And I have to minister to them. Are you following me, friends? Now, as a team lead, same thing. As a part of generation, somebody in your generation is not feeling fine, and they say, you go check up on the person. Well, we say go check up on the person. We are not just saying take banana and take granite and take orange. We are saying go and check that devil out. Are you following me this morning? And you must master it, because it will come in very handy. Very handy. Another reason why you must minister how to minister to the, why you master rather how to minister to the sick, is because it will come in handy for your loved ones too. Because sometime in life, your friend might be sick, your brother, your son, your daughter, your spouse might be sick, and you must learn how to minister to them. You know, one of the things you must realize is the fact that when we confess good health and long life, right, it is not that there will not be attacks of sickness. It is just that we'll be delivered from them. So if your loved ones will live long, they will fall sick. That's what I'm trying to say. At different times. You say, why is that? For different reasons. There is the devil factor. There is stress factor. There is the fact that we live in a fallen world. There is the mosquito factor. There is the bad water factor. All those things are there. Are you following what I'm saying? So you must master how to heal the sick. And not complain all the time. You must master how to heal the sick. And if you are here, you've not mastered that, you will need it to. You know, every time I teach on healing, I always say this, and I'm saying, you better learn how to heal the sick now. You don't need it now. Or you need it later for somebody you know.
That's the truth. Because people are going to fall sick. He says, sir, all this healing, teaching on healing, it is only in Nigeria because there are not enough good hospital facilities. Because if you go over there in the States, you know, they don't need all this teaching on healing. Well, let me be the one to shock you. There are many sicknesses that don't respond to medications. There are many. With all the money you have, I understand and I agree with the fact that there are many things happening in the country. People are dying because we have poor medical facilities. That is true. But even if you go over there, you know, you would have thought that with the level of medical advancement you find in the US and in the UK, that they will have less sick people there. But that's not true. That's not true. If you don't believe anything, believe what I'm saying. One, because most of the people I follow and I learn ministry from are not in this country. Most of them are in the US and all those very advanced countries. And you see how they talk about how they minister to the sick. Have you ever watched some of those their healing lines? You will see hundreds of people lining up sick with all the advancement in technology. There is devil in this world. Are you getting the point? I must learn how to lay hands on the sick and start dealing with things like malaria, typhoid, back problem, short legs, blind eyes, eye problem, deaf ears. Are you following me? Yes, I began to minister to the sick. Now, this should be my... I actually began to learn to the sick in 2004. Before I was even sure that I was born again. I wasn't even sure. So, what did you do? I went to a meeting and I see a woman of God put hands on the sick and ministered to the sick and healed one particular boy that was beside our house. That boy's own, I can't forget that. That was my first time of seeing that kind of thing. The guy had, his name was William. Not Williams, William. So the guy had sores all over his legs. And we knew. So when the woman was ministering, and she just brought oil and prayed and poured oil on the leg. We got up the next morning, the whole sore had dried up. Now, nobody could take that experience from me. I saw it. I observed it. And I went to school the next day, and two people in my class were sick. And I remember that thing I saw. And I went to them and I prayed for them. Morning like this, just left after assembly. By break period, they had fully recovered. If one of them came to thank me specially for praying for him. Now, that is my experience with healing the sick as far back as then. Are you following what I'm talking about? You must master it. I also remember when I was a child, you know, I struggled a lot with measles. I had measles. You know measles. I pray not to have measles. Pray your child not have measles. Is it, if they are giving measles vaccination, go and get it. That sickness, you know, people say chicken pox. I say, what is chicken pox? Have you seen measles? I never had chicken pox and I cannot have it. But is it measles? God, who has ever struggled with measles here? Was it intense? Everything that comes with it. And I was very sick. And I was very young. I can't forget the experience. That I've done everything, you know, and all of that. And, you know, they even isolated me. The isolation is the painful part. The fact that you no longer use the same bed, the same things with your siblings and all of that. You know, and I remember that day in midnight, it was already getting intense. They had done everything they know how to do. And my dad and my mom got up that night and began to pray. And I began to sing that song that I sing sometimes. And that's where the song came from. That Igbo song. Jesus. They began to say, it means there's nothing that cannot be done in the name of Jesus. They sang that song and I prayed for me. They kept praying and then I slept up. I woke up the next morning and I was fine. Now, I can tell you, you must master how to minister healing to the sick. Because tomorrow, it might be a loved one that needs it. And you have used all your money. All your money. People have flown to India and they die in India. And they fly their corpse back. Are you following me, friends? Glory to God. Glory. So master how to minister healing to the sick. At the time, it was Peter's mother-in-law that was sick. And Jesus ministered to her. So your loved one can be sick. And how do you learn how to minister healing? How do you minister healing to the sick? I'll give you two big steps. Two major steps. Two. Number one is knowledge. There are a few things you must know. I'm going to take you through them. Once you know them and you are established in them,
it becomes easy for you to minister to the sick. I'll mention some of those things. For instance, you must know, for instance, that God is not the giver of sickness. Satan is. Because if you begin to think God gives sickness, it will affect how you even pray. You'll be begging God because you think, man, Father, come and take this thing you brought now upon this child. God doesn't give sicknesses. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 16, we read about a woman, a certain woman who was sick. The Bible says she was bent over. And she's been like that for 18 years. For 18 years she's been sick. And Jesus ministered to her, right? And the woman received her healing. And the Pharisees began to complain. And they were like, why will you heal this woman on the Sabbath day? So Luke 13, 16 was Jesus' response to the Pharisees. And he told them, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? So Jesus made it clear that it was Satan that bound this woman for 18 years. So do not look for the giver of sickness. Satan is the giver of sicknesses. Yeah, we can say there are viruses, there is this, there is that. But to start with, the fact that there is even sickness on earth in the first place is because there is Satan. Because when God created this earth in Genesis 1, there was no sickness. He said when God saw everything in Genesis 1:31, the Bible said he saw everything that he made and he said they were very good. And in that God's earth that was very good, there was no sickness in it. Are you following me? I'll give you a little assignment. Go check your Bible from Genesis. The first time someone ever fell sick in the Bible. It took thousands of years. First of all, you can't check your Bible. All you just said, they will live their lives and they will die. They will get to 900 and 800 and they will die. The first place that you ever see something that looks like sickness was when a certain woman, a certain king took Abraham's wife and the wives became barren. So I'm saying from the generation of Adam to Cain to Seth, are you following the point? They will not find sickness because sickness was not originally in God's earth. So it is the corruption that came into the earth that began to bring in sickness. So stop thinking of whether God authored sickness or not. If God has sickness to give, he would have created it in Genesis 1. But he didn't create it. And you have to note that from the time God rested from creation, he has not created any other thing since then. So it's not like he came and said, I forgot sickness. I just have to create that. Are you following me? So God is not, so you must note. So when I'm standing before for cancer, the first thing in my mind is that God is not the one that caused this. An enemy has done this. And I know the enemy is the devil. Acts 10:38 that people have tipped to be one of my favorite scriptures is very clear on that. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. It's very clear who oppressed them. The devil is the oppressor with sickness. As I'm going to say to you, if you are sick or if your loved one is sick and you guys have been praying, I don't know why the person has not gotten well yet. Maybe somewhere in this teaching we are going to find out, or you are going to find out. But listen to what I'm going to say. God is not the cause of it. That's the truth. And the moment you realize that, the better for us and every one of us. Because one of the things I've said this many times, one of the teaching on God Uncensored, one of the things the devil does is to do something and mess with your mind and put the blame on God. Instead of you fighting the devil, the doer of the thing, you are blaming God and asking God, when will you remember me? Why did you forget me? When are you going to show up? So what happens? You leave the real culprit, the real one messing your life up, the real one messing your family up, the real one messing your finance up. You leave the person, then you focus on God, you are blaming God, you start by begging him. You beg him to a point, and when it's like it's not working, you now start blaming him. That is his fault. Are you following me this morning? God is not the giver of sicknesses. God is not. So that's the first thing you must know What else should you know if you're going to be someone that can minister to the sick? You must know that God wants to heal at every time. You know, there is this mindset of, you know, if I'm praying for the sick, what if it's not God's will to heal now? What if God doesn't want to heal the person now? There is nothing like that in God's word. God wants to heal today. God wants to heal. But let me say this to you. When people get healed, that is not the time God decided to heal. That is the time they stepped into the healing that God has provided. That's the time. That's the time they even understood it and accepted it. Let me tell you how God gives. And this will bless you. Every gift of God precedes the need. I'm going to say that again. Every gift of God precedes the need. So when we receive a gift from God, it is not like we are receiving because God is just giving. We are receiving because we are just catching up with his giving. Let me use salvation for instance. Now, how many of you remember the day you got born again? Do you remember? Let me say, remember the day you got born again? Which, do you remember the day, the year, the month? Or which year? Yeah? 2010. 2000 and when? 13. Was that the day salvation was provided? When was salvation provided? When Jesus died on the cross. In fact, if I say it further, I would have told you from the time the world was created. But that will cause some explanation that I don't want to get into. So let us say from the cross. Is that okay? So the day you received salvation, was that the day God gave you salvation? That was just the day you received the salvation. That is how the things of God are. He gives ahead of time. We catch up with the receiving. Are you following me? So when people say, God, maybe God doesn't want to heal, what they don't realize is that God has actually given healing. You say, how is that? Well, the day God, for instance, gave us the name of Jesus, he already gave healing. I can tell you very simply. So God always wants to heal. You know, that's in Mark chapter 1, verse 40, a certain man that was leprous, a leper, met Jesus. And then asked Jesus, there came a leper unto him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou will, you know, he said to Jesus, if you want to, you can make me clean. He was saying to Jesus, I'm not doubting your power. I'm only doubting your willingness. I'm not sure you want to. But I kind of know if you want to, you will. And that's where many Christians are. Many Christians know that God is powerful. They know that God is great. They know that he's mighty. They know that there's nothing he cannot do. What they are not really very sure about is whether God wants to do that thing now. And I'm trying to correct you. Stop doubting the willingness of God. God always wants to heal. And that's the second thing that comes from whenever I stand before a sick person. I'm standing before a sick person. I may not know many things, but I know that God wants to heal this person now. I know it. Now, this is where my confidence when I start to see people come from, actually. I'm explaining to you today. There is no sickness you bring my way. If you bring a sickness my way and I say I'm not praying for the person now, most times the case is the person is not ready to receive whatever. But I know on God's side is settled. He said, how do you know whether a person is ready or not? Well, we might not get to that today. It's all about spiritual sensitivity, but then we'll not get to that today. They came a leper to him. He said, if thou will, give me like NLT. What did NLT say? If you are willing, you can heal me. So he's saying, I don't know whether you are willing. If you want to, if you are willing. And Jesus answered in verse 41, very clear answer. He said, I am willing to be healed. God is always willing. He's always healing, willing, always ready. So never stand before a sick person to pray for the person and you are second guessing whether God wants to do it now. Because when people just try to pick up some religious jargon to explain things away, they say, you know, I don't know, God's time is the best. When God is ready, he will do it. Please stop that. The devil is taking you on a very fast ride. Because when is it that God will be ready? When will God be ready? You don't realize. So, can God not ever, and I'm going to ask you a very simple question. Can God not ever be ready to save a sinner? Huh? So God is always willing to save a sinner every day. every time. So if he's willing and ready to save a sinner all the time, why will he not be willing and ready to heal the sick at all times? Is healing a bigger miracle than salvation? Are you following what I'm talking about? Is healing a bigger miracle? I don't know whether God wants to bless me with financial prosperity now. So which one is bigger, salvation or prosperity? Salvation is a bigger miracle. And 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 tells us, this is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, today. What does that mean? Any day you open your heart to salvation is the day of salvation. And therefore, any day you open your heart to healing, it's your day of healing. Because God is always willing and ready to do it. Never think God is not ready. Never think God doesn't want to do it. Never say, well, I don't know when he's ready now. Hallelujah. Sometimes I see that as an excuse for laziness and an excuse for accepting whatever life throws at you. Say, when God wants it, it will be done. Don't stress yourself. Because no matter what you do, if God doesn't want you to get well, you will not get well. You know, that sounds familiar to some of us. Let me even tell you, that might be why you are still sick. Because of this thing you are saying. That when God wants to do it, he will do it. What I rather believe is that God always wants to do it. And I actually believe that he has worked it out already. That's how I actually see it. I told you, my answers always precede my prayers. Always. I believe it on my heart. My answers always precede my prayers. So before I come to pray over any matter, I know that God already has done it. I'm just catching up. You say, why? Because if it is his will, he has settled it. You can't... Oh, are you following me, everybody? You can't actually... You know, God is not pursuing. You're not catching up. God is not catching up with you. God is not hurrying up to tidy your matter. He has tidy. You are not catching up with him. So when I stand before a sick person, I know it for a fact that God wants to heal this person. And wants to heal the person now. What else do I know? I know, for instance, number three. I'm telling you two big steps to ministry healing, right? And the first one I'm talking about is knowledge. I'm telling you a few things you should know. I know, for instance, number three, that healing is for everyone. Everyone. Nobody is exempted from healing, even the unbeliever. That's why bring to me a chronic prostitute who doesn't even want to repent. And the person is sick. I believe that God wants to heal that person. Because healing is for everyone. That is why I'm going to say this as a side note. That is why the fact that someone received healing doesn't mean the person is now born again. But there are people that are not born again. They just told you, how do you know you're born again? They say, that day I received my healing. That's not, you're not born again. No. You have to accept Jesus. So. I get the point. We go to the field, our minister, to everybody. Healing is for everybody. Everybody. How did Acts 10:38 put it? Jesus healed all that were oppressed of the devil. He didn't ask them their name. He didn't ask them their age. He didn't ask them their village. He didn't ask them what caused the sickness. He didn't ask them whether they liked him or not. He just healed them. He just healed them. In Matthew 12 verse 15, we read about how Jesus also ministered to the sick and healed everybody. Bible said when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence and great multitude followed him and he healed them. Somebody shout all. He healed them all. He healed them all. In Matthew 14, verse 35, I have a lot of he healed them all scriptures. When the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. Hallelujah. Verse 36, and besought him that they might only touch them of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. So there was no exception. The only exception is, were you able to touch? So the people that didn't get well, were not able to touch. Are you following what I'm talking about here? So when I stand before a sick person, I know that this one qualifies for healing. Now, I'll tell you three more things that you must know. Or maybe two more things that you must know that will help you in ministering to the sick the more. You must also know that you are qualified to heal the sick. This one is the problem. You see this one? This is the easy second. That is the problem. And people argue with them, God wants to heal people, but. So, how do you know people don't believe that God heals the sick, that they can heal the sick? If someone is sick and we are having evening of answers, you say, madam, my pastor is anointed. Come, come, come.
Come, let me, my pastor, let me tell you. All you have to be fighting for when you come for that program is let him touch you. You see that his right hand. Once that hand touch you, it is finished. So this person is not doubting the power of God. This person is not doubting healing. This person is actually doubting himself. So he knows God can heal the sick, but he knows he's not the vessel that God will use. So he will recommend you to a trusted vessel. And that's where there is a problem. You must also believe that I am qualified to heal the sick. He says, but you are a pastor, I am not. Don't you realize, I started healing the sick before I became a pastor. Are you not getting the message? Are you not getting the message? Long ago. Mark 16 verse 17. These signs shall follow them that believe. What are the signs? In my name. Shall they, you know, when I read this verse, I've come to the turn of teaching on casting out devils. It always shocks me. The first sign that should follow them that believe is not even tongues. It is casting out devils. But today, we have made it sign for mature people. Say, before you cast out devils, there are some realms you must get to. That's total rubbish. Jesus said, the first sign for them that believe, that's immediately you believe, day one of believing. Oh, come on, church. You can look at the devil and say, get out of that body, and he will go. But today they say, no, you need to fast, ascend to realms. You know, there's one thing I've not been able to understand in the body of Christ recently, and I'm still learning to understand. What is ascend? What does it mean to ascend? Say, these are songs of ascension. Let me even tell you, that's just one of those terms that they bring to the body of Christ that has no biblical backing. Where are you ascending to? The heavens. Where are you seated? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So where are you ascending to? The third heaven. So you are. Where are you? You are in the first. The Bible says you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. If I am seated where Christ is, please, I don't want to. If God, if he's not in the third heaven, let me stay in the first. That thing is just being emotional. They're trying to play with your mind. Say, be ascending. You now begin to feel like. I've ascended. I'm telling you. You know, the Bible tells us, Ephesians 2 verse 6, look at that. And raised us up together. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So today they make us feel that before you heal the sick, you must ascend. Do you know why that those teachings are strange to me? I'm going to be very sincere with you. It's not even because I know the Bible. I know that when I got born again, I didn't know how to pray like I pray now. I didn't have all this knowledge I have now, but I was healing the sick. I was a very small boy. I did not ascend to anywhere. I'm telling you the truth. I just thought about the first time I ministered to the sick. I was a just two boy. Just one of just 2 years. Just one, actually. I didn't know anything. Second time, just one. I didn't know nothing. I didn't ascend to anywhere. I just put hands on the sick and the sick goes well. But today they complicate it. Say, before you're able to heal the sick, so you want to pray for cancer. Have you prayed for 7 days? Now, I'm not talking that one prayer. There's a role prayer plays in being able to heal the sick. Right? But that role is not actually I don't want to say something. So don't look, I'm talking down on some things. Are you aware that Jesus sent his disciples to go and heal the sick and cast out devils before they ever speak in tongues? Can you read your Bible? He sent the 12, he sent the 70. Even at that time, Jesus had not even died on the cross. So they've not even believed, like received that salvation that we have now. But when he sent them and they came back, they told him, even the devils were subject to us in your name. And Jesus told them, I saw Satan fall as lightning. You see, all this talk to disqualify you from being able to pray for the sick is not God doing it. It is your preachers that you've put on your pulpit that are doing it. And sometimes I sincerely feel, maybe I may be wrong,
I hope I am. Also that I sincerely feel that doing those things so that they can keep you at a level where you keep coming back to them to receive from them. A level where they will keep making you feel like you can't do what we do. You know us. So you want to come and do what we are doing. We that have gone for 13 days in ascension. I've never understood that. I've never spoken about, I don't think I've spoken about this ascension, but I've thought about it. Recently I was even trying to study. Maybe there's something I don't know. So Paul ascended. He said, yes, he went to the third heavens. He had visions, which anybody can have. You get the point? Songs that, we say, there are songs you play and it makes you ascend to where? What is ascending? Is it your body? Obviously not your body because you're standing on earth. Is it your spirit? Obviously not your spirit because your spirit is one with the Lord Jesus. So what is ascending? Your soul, your mind. Exactly what it is. Your mind. So it's mind. It's a feeling. They sink to a point to begin to feel like, I have charge. That's ascension. And listen to me, friends. You are qualified to heal the sick. You are. I have never, and thank God for God, I've never stood, I thought you thought about the first woman I saw. I've never stood before any man of God to minister, that minister healing to the sick. And I felt I couldn't do it. Never. The first thing I always feel whenever I say, wow, I can do this. I've always believed it. I don't even know how I started thinking like that. But it has been that in my head. I saw another woman, she did that. Just one. The next time I went for mission work, that was about 2 years after that, minister to the sick. Now, about 2 years after that, that same year I went for mission work. I sat on that Reverend Dr. Mokwai again, and I saw him minister to the sick. And as people were shouting because there were crazy miracles in that meeting, as they were shouting, myself, I was so excited. But what I was shouting was, I can do this. I was shouting. And when I finished from there, I went from there. I started visiting hospitals every Saturday. For months, Saturday, hospital, he lay hands on the sick. Until you know that God has blessed you with something, you will always keep living at that point where you are begging for things. You can minister healing to people too. 2006, I started doing all of that, because I've always believed that I can do this. And that's not a way of speaking competitively or, to talk about a man of God. I just believe that. When I say man of God, display the power of God, I just see what God has also empowered me to do. Because it's the same spirit that we carry. Yes, the person might be more advanced in the use of the anointing. You get the point? And might know how to use things better. So he might have some results that I may not be having because of experience and all of that. But it is whether I can lay hands on the sick. I can. And they will recover. Amen. So you must know that you are qualified to heal the sick. Jesus' disciples are there healing the sick. The 70 also went. How many of you know that even Judas healed the sick? Judas was part of the 12 that Jesus sent, and they came back with testimony. Judas, Iscariot. That one, he was part of the team that healed the sick. Are you getting the point? And you think about it, you know that God has actually empowered you with more. To start with, them that believe. That's what he said. Them that believe. How you are passing the Greek is, this sentence shall follow the believing ones. Come, are you a believing one? Come on. This sentence shall follow the believing ones. The believers. So we are believers. Sometimes, which we think is the next thing. Sometimes the problem is not that we are not enough. We are not able. It's just that we do not try. We don't attempt. Some of you think, there's something that people normally do. Some of you think that when you have the healing anointing inside of you, you will feel it. Well, it can happen. There are sometimes I can lay hands on you and your hand will be hot a very long time. Has it ever happened to you? But not all the way. Many times I lay hands on the sick, I don't feel anything. There are times I'm trying to lay hands on you and I sense the anointing run through my hand. There are those times. But there are times I want to lay hands on people and I sense the pain in their body, on my own body, exactly where they are affected. I get what I'm saying.
But there are times I don't feel anything. Like nothing, emotionally nothing. Just casually be healed in Jesus' name.
How many of you have ever been healed of any sickness in this church by this anointing? Anybody? Ever? Let me see your hand. Do you want to tell your neighbor about it? Tell your neighbor about it. Share the testimony. I just want faith to rise in this place. One that you remember. Amen. I remember ministering to you at Man Up and Perfect Lady. Yes. Amen. What was that case again? Your leg was, you couldn't move it and all of that. Now there are many, and the problem, why I pointed you is, when she told me about that, she told me earlier, I knew about it earlier. When she told me about it, I told her, don't worry, one day God is going to lead me to minister to you. When that time comes, I'm going to pray for you. And that was that day. And there are many people like that. So, but do you know, many times I pray for you, like, I don't feel anything. Like, I don't feel no goosebumps. I just feel normal. Like as normal as you are eating. Do you know I've been eating? There are times when you call me and I'm praying for you on the phone and I'm eating. One spoon in the mouth. Hello? I swallow first and I say, be healed. Let me tell you, say, eating is normal. I can even be seeing a movie. Maybe as I'm seeing a movie and you call. Problem is that maybe we are using my phone to, my wife and I are using my phone to watch something and you call. This is even interrupting what you are watching. So quickly put you on the phone in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. And you think there will be no testimonies? There will be testimonies. There will. Many of them. So that's why people share testimonies. I always feel like, if these people know what was happening when I prayed for them. And that's why you must come to the point where you realize you don't need to feel any special power surging through your inside. There are times you feel like that. That's all, not all the time. So that I don't feel nothing on my body. I don't feel nothing. Because I'm not a human feeling. I'm a human being. So I don't walk by feelings. I don't need to feel fire burning in my hand before I know I have to heal the sick. But have I felt fire burning in my hands? Yes, a few times. But I don't need to feel it. I get the point. Have I felt anointing go through my hand that it begins to vibrate uncontrollably? Yes. But not at all times. And I know it. One of the things that messed me up as a younger Christian, I've told this story many times. I don't know why God's bringing it up again. When I used to talk to guys about my internal heat. Remember that? When I said newly as a believer, if I'm in an atmosphere and the anointing of God is rising within me, I'll begin to feel a heat. Now, I'm not in the spirit practically. Internally, my body will begin to burn up on the inside. And it's so dramatic. If, what I'm telling you is, if I'm praying, if a miracle is about to happen, I know. If I was in a meeting one day, sitting with my friend, and there was a man of God I was meant to minister in that meeting. That's one of the ways I used to, if a real man of God passes me, I will sense it. So we're bending down, the man of God was late. We're bending down, I was talking to my friend. Immediately, I sensed that thing, and I told my friend, this guy has come. He said, have you seen him? He said, no. I just know that an anointing entered this environment. And the guy was there. So I trusted that thing very well. But look at where the problem was. I was waiting for it at all times. If I want to do anything, I have to wait for it to show up. If it doesn't show up in a meeting, I could just be singing, doing many things until my internal heat comes. Until one day I began to study the Bible. Come on, you must move on from experiences. That's what I'm saying. I used to feel it sometimes now, but I don't wait for it no more. Glory to God. I don't wait for it no more. Sometimes I can be preaching and I tell you I feel the anointing here. Sometimes I don't feel nothing. He says, what do you now do? I know. I know he's here. Say, how do you know? The word of God says he's here. The word of God says if I put hands on the sick, you'll be healed. That is stronger than any internal heat. You know, the word of God is more powerful than your experience. That put me in trouble. Every time I was just waiting. Until what I was studying the Bible, I said, what are you waiting for? So you always have to wait for heat to do you.
And I tell you, if I'm praying over a matter, I have to pray until I feel that heat. But I'll know that, oh yeah. The kind of miracles I've experienced without feeling any heat. Yeah? I've seen up to 7 to 8 deaf people here in one night. And what I'm talking to you about did not take 3 minutes. Just get to their ear. Open, 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 open. Just like this. Check yourselves. All ears open. No heat. No pressure. No fire. But there is fire. That's what I'm saying. Why am I no fire? No. Somebody waiting to feel something. You are qualified to heal the sick. That's what I'm saying. You actually are. And I want to say it again. There is nothing special about me. I'm just telling you the truth. And the first person I heard began to make this statement about nothing special about him was Rayad Bonke. He stood in Osoka and thought, there's nothing special about him. I said, look at this man. What do you mean by that? He said, there's nothing special. In fact, he was telling us in that he has never really had any big vision like trans. That he never saw any, maybe Felix just forgot to call him and say, Rehan, my son. He said, he didn't have all those things. He said, he was just there. He said, he's normal. He's an ordinary person. If you know Rayad Bonke, he said, any other ordinary person here with me? But for real, he was just ordinary. But look at what God could do with an ordinary human being. I feel what I'm talking about. So you are qualified to heal the sick. By the time I get to the second point, second step to healing the sick is to step out in faith. This one is why you're not healing the sick. You're not stepping out. You're not stepping out. I have more testimonies of healing than you. Why? Because I have placed hands on more sick persons than you have. I'm telling you, there is no other reason. I've attempted to pray for more sick persons than you have attempted to. And it's as simple as that. If you will step out in faith, you will see healing. And somebody is saying, yes, sir. That faith thing is the problem. I don't have faith for it. That's the problem. You are still in error. Because, you see, this faith thing is also another way Satan has people in bondage. Say, I need faith. I need faith. Me, I want to hear the sequel, but my faith is not rich. That's not a correct statement to make. Galatians 2 verse 20 tells us, Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he said, it's not I that live. He said, nevertheless, I live. Yes, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God. You read with the King James Bible, it didn't say by faith in the Son of God. It said the faith of the Son of God. That tells you that Paul is saying that the faith he has is the faith of Jesus. That's why if you read your Bible, I think in Mark 11, where the Bible said have faith in God. If you go to the originals, how it appears is have the faith of God. Yes. So it's not this kid just say have faith in God. The original says have the faith of God. So what Jesus was telling them here was not just about believing, it was about coming to salvation. When you receive salvation, you receive the faith of God. Every believer has the faith of God working in him. So when people say I don't have faith, I don't know what that means. Do you know why I don't know what that means? Let me explain it very simply to you. You don't have faith. How many of you have ever seen Jesus here? Physically. Have you seen Jesus? Okay, Passion Translation wrote it very well. Jesus replied, let the faith of God be in you. It's not faith in God. The faith of God. Now, have you seen Jesus physically? Okay, if not. You want to know if I have? I have not. Like physically, I've not seen Jesus physically now. I'm trying to show you that you have faith. You've not seen Jesus physically? How many of you know where Golgotha is? You know Golgotha? Have you been there? And I'm the Gwaji. You don't know where Golgotha is? How many of you know Apostle Paul? Like, that fine young man. You don't know him. Are you not getting the point I'm making?
you believe that there is Jesus. You believe it. How many of you have been there when he ascended the right hand of the Father? But you believe he's there. However, used a mirror and you saw Jesus inside of you. But you believe he's in you. No faith is bigger than that. Are you getting the point? To believe in what you cannot see. So you could believe that Jesus is living inside of you. You've never seen him. You believe he died. You are not there. You believe he's the resurrection of the dead. You are not there. And yet you say, I don't have faith to believe to heal the sick. No faith is bigger than believing for salvation. Are you following me this morning? No faith is bigger. Let me tell you. That's why the people that are not saved see Christians as mad people. Because the things we believe, the claims we make are unthinkable. Are you following me this morning? The claims we make are not logical. How can you say that somebody died? Okay, let's even say he died because Jesus exists in history. And you now say he rose again. You now say he's a resurrection of the Father. You now say because of him your sins are forgiven. You now say he is living inside of you. I have the Holy Ghost. I have the Holy Ghost. People are just delusional. But somehow we believe this with all our hearts. You can't take it from me. Jesus lives in my heart. The Holy Ghost lives in my heart. You can't take it from me. Now, if I believe something as crazy as that, I believe that cancer can be healed. So I don't have a faith problem. Say it again. Say, I don't have a faith problem. Come on. I've believed the most crazy thing to ever believe in this life. The craziest thing, I believe it. The most unthinkable thing. That God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost live inside of me. Now, someone believes this thing I'm saying and still says, I don't have faith for cancer. You actually, no believer has a faith problem. Because the faith of God, do you know why you believe that thing? Because the faith it takes to believe that illogical thing is the faith of God. See, for a moment, let me show you. When we preach the gospel to sinners, what happens is, as they begin to hear the gospel, thank you, Lord Jesus. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. That word we are preaching to them carries in it the faith of God. Are you following me? That word will now transmit the faith of God into them. So it is that faith of God that they used to believe the gospel. So it's not actually your faith that used to believe the gospel. Because if it is by your natural faith, the gospel is not believable. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's it. It's not believable. Now, let's remove faith. Think about it logically. But somehow we believe. We know what we know. We believe what we believe. And nobody can take it from us. He says, how are you guys even sure that this is who we believe is real? Come on now. We've seen it work. Amen. You don't believe it's real. We're asked by that rubbish we believe. We've seen demon-possessed people. And we just point them. The demon jumps out from them. And madness of many years disappears. You can't take that one from me. You get the point. And take it from me. So no believer has a faith problem. The only problem believers have is that they do not step out in faith. That's what I'm saying. They don't act in faith. Jesus told them, you know, in Luke 17 verse 5, they met Jesus and they told him, Lord, increase our faith. And as some of Christians are still praying today, Father, give us more faith. Give me more faith. Give me faith to raise the dead. Faith to raise the dead. We contend for faith to raise the dead. Faith. I know sometimes you get tired. The problem is, you know the problem? Let me even assume your prayer has worked. How will you even know it has worked? Did you ever walk up to a dead person and ask the person to rise and he didn't rise? Are you following what I'm talking about? So the problem is stepping out in faith. I have more healing cases than you because I have put hands on more sick people than you. I've spoken to more sick people than you. So they said, increase our faith. People would have said, no, you would have thought Jesus would say to them, Okay, now lift up your hands. Receive faith increase. What did Jesus answer them? In verse 6, he told them, the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. So they're asking for faith increase. Jesus said, if you have small, you can say to this mountain, move. He was telling them, it's not faith that is your problem. You just need to have that faith of God. Are you following what I'm saying? If you have that faith of God, you as small as a mustard seed can say to this sycamine tree. And you know the problem? He was talking to a particular, that sycamine tree is not figurative. They were standing beside the sycamine tree. He said, this particular one, you can tell this one to be plucked out. It will be plucked out. As small as a mustard seed. So he was saying to them, your problem is not faith. And then he said to you, your problem is not faith. It's not faith. Problem is, will you act in the faith? Jesus told them, Mark 11:23. He said, if give me that verse. I want to quote it word for word. He said, for very light unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast to the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. In verse 24, he went for to say, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when ye pray, believe. So the problem is, will you speak over matters? That's how to say the sick healed. You must dare. So step out in faith. What do you do when you step out in faith? Go and lay hands on the sick. Lay hands on the sick. Lay. And when we talk about laying hands on the sick, right? It is not, when I mean lay hands, people say, why do we have to lay hands? Can't we just speak? Well, you can just speak. But Jesus says you should lay hands. So if you can't lay hands, you lay hands. That is healing by wholesale and all that. That is healing by spoken word. But Jesus said you should lay hands. That's actually the easiest way to get people healed. Mark 16:17 says we should lay hands on the sick. In Mark 1 verse 40, when Jesus met that leper, I wanted to pray for him. The Bible said, verse 42, Jesus touched him. Yes. Jesus put forth his hand, touched him, and said unto him, I will be thou clean. So he touched him. Now, I believe in laying on of first to minister to the sick. In Mark 7 verse 32, we see that principle of laying on of first, principle of touch, again, if you want to call it that. He said, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, beseeching him to put his hand upon him. In verse 33, and he took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers into his ear, spit and touched his tongue and all that. Verse 34, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephata, that is, be opened. And verse 35, the Bible said, straightway his ears we are opened. So he touched him. Now, I lay hands on the sick, Lord. Let me tell you a very simple way for laying on first to become easy for you. How it worked for me is, I came to a point where I got a revelation of the fact that my hands are an extension of the hands of Jesus. So when I'm putting hands on the sick, I actually don't see it as though it is me touching you. That's why I say, if you want whatever, just let me touch you. I know that Jesus lives in me. He talks through me. You know it is Jesus talking to you now through me. So that same way, when I'm stretching my hand, I don't think it's just my hand. I feel Jesus is also stretching his hand towards you. So because I know that the power of God flows through my hand, I believe in that principle of healing by touch. So when someone is sick, when I say lay hands, I mustn't put my hands on your head. Sometimes I can touch your hand. Sometimes I can. I just want to sometimes just make contact. And I used to tell the Lord I was growing up to heal the sick. That's why I see the healing line. And watch, sometimes when you watch me do, well, you are healing line maybe at Zoe. Why at Zoe? Zoe last year when I had healing line. With amazing, amazing testimonies. And when people listen to those testimonies, they will assume that you, if you are not there, you would have thought that all these testimonies, Holy Ghost knows how many hours the prayers took. It didn't take time actually. I'll just touch you. Healed. Now, I kind of believe, which is actually the truth, that when I touch you, Jesus has touched you. That's what I believe. You know, I wish I had more time. If you know how many things that can happen with just that touch, it covers so much.
It covers so much. And I was reading a book by Charles Francis Hunters, and they were there's one story. I won't tell you the whole story because of our time. But this, they ministered to a man. And it was just the touch. The man had multiple sclerosis. Okay, my dad thing. Don't know it. He had multiple sclerosis. He had diabetes. One man. He had high cholesterol. He had high triglycerides. He had scar tissue on the brain. And he was paralyzed. One man. The doctors have told him that he would die. Clearly. But somehow the guy, because it's a long story, it's a very detailed testimony, he began to study on the faith of God. He wasn't even a believer. He was watching TV one day and he saw one man preaching. It's a long story. But when they came to the meeting, he just put, Jason put his hands on him. The power of God surged through his body. He fell down. So when he fell down and he got up, he was still as paralyzed as he was before he came. He said, but just told him, God has healed you. And they carried him back. The next day, they now went to give him his regular insulin for diabetes. And his body began to react. Because his body didn't need it again. Before the end of that day, he was up. Everything cleared. There is so much. And I wanted to preach a message one day titled, "What is in a touch?" It's about healing, about laying of hands. What is in a touch? Just touch. Everything can be orchestrated. Because it's not just my hand. You've got to know it. That when you are putting your hands on the sick, it's not just your hand. It's not just your hand. That's why I normally encourage people, when you lay hands on the sick, even in partition generally, don't push people. Do you understand? All this one of, take. It's not it. If you understand what happens, that's why sometimes I can put my finger on you. You can never say anything that I prayed for you and I applied force on your head. You know why I understood what it means from onset? It's not whether you fall. It's not about the force. I just want to make contact. Sometimes with your hand. This is the hand of just being extended towards you. Next time you meet a sick person, and I want to teach you to begin to practice it this week. Put your hands on the sick. Get to the hospital. When your friend is sick, put it in. Just Jesus' hand. Jesus' hand is being extended. He says, what do you do? Just know it. Know it. So sometimes I can just be very tired and I will say, so you notice, if you read your Bible, you observe, if I get to that, everybody Jesus touched or that touched Jesus received healing. You get the point? It's not about laying hands on the head or on the leg. It's about that contact. That contact. Because life flows from Jesus to the person. And the life of Jesus is flowing in me. So when I'm touching you, I believe that once I touch you, I cannot lay hands on you and nothing will happen to you. It's what I believe. You want to show belief to. He said, why do you believe that? Because Jesus cannot touch you and you remain the same. And my hands are an extension of the hands of Jesus. I could put hands on you and you say you feel nothing. But I know something has started inside of you. Yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So lay hands on the sick. And what else do you do? Speak. Speak to the person. Speak to the sickness. Just simple thing. If someone has, you know, what Chaston has told that young man, that man that had all those things, he said he didn't even have time to start telling him, triglyceride be healed. He just told him, what you need is an overhaul. You know, say, Lord, overhaul this body. Oh, glory to God. What is in a touch? Lord, overhaul this body. And from head to toe, everything corrected. You know, you can actually put us on the sick and say, Father, overhaul this body. You can put us on the sick and say, Father, new lungs, new kidneys, new set of eyes. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. You can put us on the sick and say, Lord, I want a new womb to be created in this lady. I want new wombs. I need new organs in this body. Yes. You can touch the ear and ask for brand new eardrums. I was in Obolo to minister, I church in Obolo to minister one time like that, and I ministered to a young man that had one ear bad. And I ministered to him. I don't know if you were there, if you remember this. After I prayed for him, the other ear, the ear opened. The ear that opened began to hear clearer and better than the one that he thought was good. I don't know if you were there in that meeting. Yes. He said, this one now hears better than the other one. Talk about God giving new eardrums. So God did not repair that ear. He gave him new ones. You see, where did he get it from? Can you create a product and not have spare parts? If you make a, you have spare tire in your workshop. Do you get the point? I believe that the product of anything has spare parts. So when I need new eyes, he can give me new eyes. When someone needs new hearts, he can create brand new hearts. But when he heals the heart, when they check it on the machine, they'll say it's like the heart of a baby. And the person you're talking about is an adult. When you just talk to the sickness, don't come around sick with someone that is sick and start saying, Father, where are you? Where are you? Remember him. That's how to heal the sick. That's drama. Jesus said, say to the mountain. So if the mountain you are looking at is cancer, say, cancer, in the name of Jesus, out of this body. Yeah, that's how to minister to the sick. That's how to minister to the sick. And it works all the time. All the time. You know, in Acts chapter 9, verse 32, Peter met a man called Aeneas. Give me verse 33. He met a man called Aeneas, which had kept his bed. He has been lying on his bed, paralyzed for 8 years. And Peter entered that place in verse 34, said unto him, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise. You speak to the person. You speak to the sick. Arise and make thy bed. Bible says he arose immediately. We are in the season of immediately. Immediately. He arose immediately. Arise, make your bed. Have I seen this kind of case? Yes. A man bedridden for 11 years. The sickness started small. But the guy was also a drunkard. So he drinks a lot. So by the time they brought me to him, the wife took me to him. I can't forget that case. He was lying down. He was just like vegetable. That's what I'm going to say. He was slim. He was just lying down there. He has not gotten up from that bed in 11 years. He eats there. He urinates there. And everything. The room was stinking as you would have expected. And I just managed to just get in. And I just know that one needs an overhaul. I just prayed a simple prayer. And I said, get up. He didn't get up. I'm coming to that shortly. Get up. He didn't get up. So I told the woman, give him a hand. He said, sir, what a quarter. I said, did you bring me here to contribute prayers or to heal your husband? He said, healing. I said, give him a hand. She gave him a hand. The guy stood up. I held the guy. She held the man. Took one step. Took another step with our support. After some time, I said, leave him. He said, eh? I said, leave him. She left him. And this man saw me off. Yes. 11 years. I can't forget it. 11 years. Let me tell you. And I was not feeling anything when I was praying for the man. I have more results like this because I try it more often. The next time somebody falls sick in your compound, stop doing Dr. Ngordane. Stop forming. I've told you, even if you have to give medication, put hands on the sick and pray. I've met other people in this church and they even had missing tooths in their body reappear. I follow you, my friends. We've met other people in this church and there are countless cases that we can mention. Cancer stage 3. Cancer stage 4. Healed by the power of God. But it is not just for you to celebrate. I want you to go put hands on the sick this week.
Are you following me? This teaching will not benefit you nothing until you got learns on the sick. Because half of the things I'm saying now, you already know. Just that you've not been doing it. If you can lay hands on the sick often, you will have more results. Because there is no special way you feel when you have the anointing. There's no special way to feel. So you actually don't know if you have it until you can put us on the sick and pray. But I know you do have it. When you put us on the sick, pray. Keep speaking. So when do I stop praying and tell the person to check their healing? I'll tell you the simple answer. You stop when you know in your heart that the healing has come. When I'm praying for the sick, and I'm going to say this briefly before we close, I am not checking the person's face. I'm not checking your reaction. I'm not checking whether you are feeling good or not. The major concern I have when I put this on the stick, I'm checking my spirit. So which one is spirit again? This thing you are teaching was easy until now. You've now said spirit. No. Once you pray to a point and you know it in your heart that this is now okay, once you sense that nod from your inward witness, stop. Healing has happened. So in Acts chapter 3, Peter ministered to this man, verse 6, ministered to this man that was crippled, prayed for the man. That's why I said I'm coming back to that story. Prayed for this man, and this man, he said, the Lord just rise up and walk. The man didn't get up. What did Peter do in verse 7? Peter took him up by the hand. Why did he take him up? He knew the guy had been healed. He didn't wait. So Peter did not stop praying when the guy got up. He didn't actually get up. Peter stopped. So when I prayed for that man in that village, Umulungbe village to be precise, when I prayed for that man, he didn't get up. But I knew he was healed. Are you following me, friends? I knew it. So I can be praying on stage. If you see me ministering like that, cancer be healed. This one, at time, I will just tell you, it's done. I don't say that to excite you. Something I know. So when you pray for the sick, you are not checking. I'm not checking how people react. People react differently. People are different faith levels. But when healing has moved, when Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Because virtue went out of him. He knew something left his body. When something happens, I say, "How do I know?" Just check your spirit, man. Once you feel it has happened, it has happened. But because that thing is actually beyond the feeling, is what you know. Say, so when it happens, what do? Lead the person to begin. Let's begin to test the healing. Let him do what he couldn't do before. If he couldn't bend, let him bend. That's why I tell people, when you minister to the sick, stop checking for the body of the person to adjust. Be checking for that light in your spirit, man. Are you following me, friends? Be checking for that, okay, your spirit, man. In your spirit, man. You know, as I'm talking about this, this atmosphere is charged with the healing anointing already. This place. I just sense that if anybody is sick here now, you can't leave this atmosphere the same. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Healing is in this place. And thank you, Lord Jesus. If you're sick in your body, any form of infirmity, please raise your hand. Anybody like that? You're sick, any form of infirmity? Raise your hand. Anybody like that? You're sick? Please stand. Please stand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We know you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek your diligently.
This is the confidence. Come on, let's all over this place. Sing.
This is the
someone. At least hold your right hand. Make sure that's happening. Make sure someone is your hold. If you are standing and you are sick in your body, make sure someone that is not sick is at least holding your hand. Because I'm going to minister healing to the sick. Now, it's not me that will pray. I'm just going to lead you to what to say. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Negorando shata labaya. Do you want to pray in tongues for a moment? Just go ahead. Yele baraba shata la karabate la brakata la bashade. Ekorabate la fregate la bashata labaya. Healing is working mightily in this place. Oh, rande le grande la grondaya. Oh, shandara bate le crode le boshataya. This place is so charged up with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And if you are holding any of these people that are not strong in their body, say with me, say, thank you, Lord Jesus. You're going to say it with confidence. When you minister healing, speak, you're going to say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your healing power. Now speak to that person. Say, every sickness in your body, every disease in your body, every infirmity in your body, be gone now in the name of Jesus. Say to the person, every sickness in your body, be gone now. Say, whatever needs to be fixed is fixed now. What needs to be repaired is repaired now. What needs to be replaced is replaced now. Say, what must be created anew is created anew now. In the name of Jesus. Then the person, receive your healing now. Say to the person, be healed. Be healed. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, healing is in this place now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sing that song again. If you know this song, let us sing it together. If we prayed for you now, it's time to check your healing. Check for your healing. What? How do you do that? Do anything you couldn't do with your body before. Check out your healing. If you pray for someone, lead the person. Ask the person, what couldn't you do? If it's what they cannot check now, they need to go for a test. It's fine. They should check themselves. Healing has broken out in this place. Healing has broken out in this place. Woo! Thank you, Lord Jesus. If the person says he's still feeling the thing, what do? You repeat those things I prayed for. Pray again. Repeat those things I said. The person says, I'm still feeling this. Repeat those things. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Ooh. If you're here and you've just received your healing and you are sure you've tested it, there's no sickness, let me see your hand. Just wave your hand. Raise it. Look at all the hands. Can you see that? Now, you are not second guessing. You are not saying it's to help me or to make us happy. It's not even me that prayed. So if you are sure you've checked your body, you can't find the sickness again. Let me see your hand again. All of these people, do we want to give the Lord a shout this morning? So this one is not Pastor Henry. This one is you that prayed. Sense ministry to sense. Now go out there and take your word with the healing anointing. Go out there and do that. If you receive your healing, before we go, just get to the information desk out there. Pick a testimony slip. Write down what happened. We can't take your testimony because that is a second service. Make sure you write it down. Don't go without doing that so that we can read the testimony to others and we all will be encouraged. Hallelujah. Or maybe ushers can actually move around and pass those testimony slips to them. Hallelujah. Say, I'm anointed to heal the sick. Say, I'm anointed to heal the sick. Say, healing power is working in me. Come on, say, healing power is working in me. Say, healing power
is working in me. Come on, say healing power is working in me. Town full of the Holy Ghost. Town full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lift your hands. Just give him praise. Oh, yes. It's so amazing. You are the God who made the heavens. Great is your love for me. You love me with mercy in the morning and goodness at night time. In an autumn season, I'm basking in your grace. It's so amazing. You are the God, come on.
Excite you. It's meant to push you to go do something. To go put hands on the sick. I want to hear your testimonies. You are moving from the point of just becoming a receiver to being a giver. Glory to God. And every time your heart begins to shake, listen to this teaching again. Hear it again. Hear it again. Hear it again. And again. And again. And again. Remind yourself. And do it again and again until it's no longer a message you need to hear. It's now an experience you have. That's the truth. I told you the greatest form of mind renewal is action. Because what you do today enters your memory tomorrow. So if you keep doing it at a time, you don't need this message. I had to calm down to organize this, my thoughts I shared with you now. Because these things I don't need, it's in my head.
Every time I stand facing a person, I know these things. And I just do them. And the person you minister to, if you are privileged to minister to someone now, you know, that same way works. And notice I didn't say, let the ministers go and minister, or let the leaders, or if you're a new member, don't do it. Anybody by anybody's side did it and got the result. That tells you anybody. Once you are born again, the life of God can flow through you to bless another. Were you blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Have your seat.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.